no, professional. Mm-hmm. Like Ananta Vrindavani, she's a professor.
Right.
So it's natural. She's very like, mm-hmm. always on time, Baka knows, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And with others, it's not that clear. So we're thinking that, you know, maybe in the future,
we can present
the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever nowadays exists, it's...
No, because one of the main problems we would have in running one of those seminars is we don't keep trash cans in the room for us to roll up paper and throw it into the bin and then get praised or not for that. No? I mean, it's just a matter of connecting. So if you use those techniques, someone from a Western background or a Western exposure will connect and it will have some effect, but it doesn't adjust the perspective or culture on how you would apply it. That's the difficulty. So the Vedic, being that it's, you know, the descending process, you need a different cultural exposure. So that's the difficulty with those things, is then unless you're doing on that kind of thing more of a tactile element, then they won't catch, because in the class you're working on the subtleties of what response you're getting from people and how they're with the moods and like that. So you have to have something that brings that out, because the other one is nice if you can create that, you know, excitement and everything and like that, but problem is maintaining that, especially if you're talking about maintaining it for 12 years. So it's you know, because you see these programs where they have all these things and they come up and they use these, they're always short.
Very short.
Is, you know, 2 day, 5 day, 10 day maximum, you know.
Yeah.
So because otherwise, how do they maintain that kind of, you know, so-called enthusiasm?
Yeah, it's very high energy.
Yeah, and so the thing is you're in your life, you don't work on that high energy like that. So you have to have something that will deal more with the person in their position and, you know, what they actually can do. So not that it won't have an effect and not that people won't be, it won't have an impression. You know, that's why they've been developed, because they create an impression. But whether that impression is transferable into you know, an actual student teacher, where you're actually improving the quality of the student's consciousness and perspective. That's another thing, because here they're trying to get across particular facts, and if they're working on high energy, then you like that, and so then you'll be rewarded with that high energy. You do well, then you'll get some of that high energy, and if you don't, you won't.
Yeah.
Well, for us, the reward is you know, understanding things and assimilating, you know, the Krishna conscious position. You know? So it has to be something that would create an impression, but so that the impression then creates that value in sustainable culture rather than this more high energy artificial.
Yeah, always changing.
Yeah, because it always has to, you have to have variety, but the variety has to be very external and very, you know, because the other one, you know, if you set up under a tree, they may not do so well in their presentation. You know, they need too many externals. Well, for us, it should be you can teach anywhere.
Yeah. Even without a book, you carry everything in your
head. Yeah, it means you could, if needed, you could run a course, a seminar, even with nothing. No material. But you want to do, you know, like this, and that. Then you have the material, but you should be able to think and everything in that logical process.
But also, what I was thinking is that we learn so much as teachers just by observation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do a teaching training course, it's all about it's all about the technique.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to, you know, to just to remember the technique, how to get the attention, how to do this, how to do that, but to observe the teacher and the dynamic of the class and the, you know, how it's all going, you need more time. You have actually to sit there, to be there, and then observe, and obviously to be, you know, to be careful, to look careful where, you know, what's going on. But otherwise, those, you know.
Yeah, well, just take it from the corporate where the emphasis is on technique, because the businessman has the plan, knows what to do, but people have to carry out the technique to physically make it happen.
Yeah.
And so their whole dynamic is centered around having people have the knowledge and skill to do that particular technique. And they don't have to have anything more than that. They don't have to think. You just have to apply the technique. So only if there's some need to deal with the technique in a variety of situations, you know, then that's there. But the main thing is that you can do the technique in the environment you put into and be steady in that. Be happy to do that for the next 40 years, you know. But then those who have a little more brain, then you can show them how to apply it in a little bit more wide range and to see that the others are working. But you still don't know what's going on in business. You know? So that's the thing, is you don't have to know. All you have to know is that you do your work, and that doing your work, that's the best thing. So even the corporate model doesn't teach you business. It only teaches you how to work for business. Well, administration, it teaches you how to administrate, how to lead. So it's a superior educational model.
Yeah.
You know, much superior. Because the other one, they don't want you to think too much. Yeah. They're already doing the thinking. They just want you to do. And so in the administrative, you have to be able to think. And if you can, then you can learn the techniques and all that at the lower level. Because that's what you'd be doing. You'd be working on that level. But if it's leadership, you'd have to be able to see people and the situations and everything like that. And then for the Brahminical, then that educational model means you have to have the knowledge and be able to apply it into your own life and show others how to apply it into theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So means it goes to another level that the Kshatriya level doesn't deal with, the administrative doesn't. It means it doesn't necessarily show you how to improve your life. It shows you how to efficiently see that things are maintained. And if something goes wrong, how to correct it. But how to move forward from there, that's the Brahminical. And then of that, then of course, then we use the devotional. So if it's not applicable devotionally in your life and you can move forward, then you've missed the whole point of knowledge. You know. So it's not really understood what you're dealing with. It's just taken, it's a classroom, so it's all the same. You know, that'd be like saying it's got four wheels, so they're all the same. You know, so I have an ambassador, or I have one of those, you know, $10 million Rolls Royces. It's the same because it's got four wheels. But it's just the refinement of what they can do with all is so much more. So that comes out to be a big, big problem. Is that because that's not known? Because people have become aware of educational models through this system. Because otherwise, they would have already been aware before and become teachers. Because that's all it was. But now that the corporate is trying to do these things for having these seminars and that, so that their businesses goes nicely. You know, because they see people aren't trained enough, people aren't inspired enough, so they do just enough to get that. And so many people are exposed from that, and so then that's what they want to deliver to the students. And so then it's just a matter of, it lacks the cultural range and depth that actual education should be functioning on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Basically, it's efficiency.
It
doesn't matter what else is there. Just it should be efficient. If it's efficient, then we're successful.
Like the technique on how to maintain discipline in the class, how to get these things. So it's efficiency, which is important. So it's not that many of those elements aren't important, but they're secondary elements. The primary element isn't being taught in the context of it. So even though you may spend more time on the secondary elements, but if the secondary aren't taught in relationship to their assistance to the primary, then you actually won't have a human educational model. Which is a problem. No?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Oh, we weren't on.
We were on.
Huh?
We were on that.
Okay.
I'm just doing so.
Okay. Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu. Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 1 Supremacy of the Name and Form of Krishna. Page 20. Esha tu vati vadati yas satyena ti vadati. He who is an ativadi of satya is a real ativadi. Chandogya Upanishad 7.16.1. He who speaks, surpassing all speakers by explaining the Lord, speaks most excellently, surpassing everything. The word ativadanti means he surpasses all things explained previous, such as prana, and attains the stage of Brahman. Similarly, in the Gita, successively superior teachings are presented. Finally, Krishna is indicated as supreme. So it means in those concluding six verses, he starts off the Paramatma and concludes with Swayam Bhagavan. So it's natural will be the steps. So the Ativadi here then means they go up. So when he actually gets to Satya, or the absolute truth, then you're actually an Ativadi. Otherwise, you may be very excellent in explaining lower levels of understanding and consciousness. But unless you know the satya, unless you explain things in context of the satya, then you're not the real ativadi. Yeah. Udriti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Brahman that is mentioned in the Upanishads is but his effulgence. The Paramatma, who is mentioned in the Upanishads and the Yoga scriptures, is one part of Krishna. There are many proofs for these two statements in scriptures. This cannot be understood by reasoning or logical rules. As light emanates from the sun, from Krishna, endowed with all wonderful qualities, unlimited rays spread out in all directions. Characterized by negative attributes such as formlessness, those rays take the form of a personal Brahman in the hearts of those cultivating negation of material consciousness. Yogis seek out Paramatma, the expansion of Krishna, who creates and enters the universe. Right? So these attributes are just they're the effulgence of Krishna's unlimited qualities. Like Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities. The effulgence of that's spreading everywhere, that is then what is perceived in the hearts of individuals as Brahman. Because it's just his effulgence. You know what I'm saying? When you say sunshine, you don't separate it from the sun. It's the sun is creating the sunshine. So when you just say that there's sunshine, there's no sun. And there can't be a sun because the sunshine is the ultimate. Right? If there's a sun, it has to be an inferior position to sunshine. Then we can understand that that concept, that's just within their mind. It's not real. Brahman simply means that. And it has, they have formlessness, negative attributes like formlessness and, you know, no qualities, and that means no material, this and that. So you have to see the context that makes it the position. So it doesn't stand separately. It's just the effulgence. And then Paramatma is just a expansion of Krishna. So there's an expansion, then say you can't have that original. And that doesn't make any sense. That's why the object of worship for the less intelligent man is a transformation of material sattva gun, which has qualities such as formlessness. So the material sattva gun then has these kind of negative qualities. These are how it's perceived. Because otherwise it's just the wonderfulness of his qualities. And then based on that, then his energies then manifest so much unlimited variety, because that variety is already there in his effulgence. Does that make sense? Because that effulgence is the existence, so everything that exists is based on that. So,
yeah. I mean, even if we take causation, which is, you know, basic level of logic, we have to, before we start the conversation, we have to define whether he is the cause or he's not the cause. And it can be like he's partially cause. It's either yes or no. We can't really play with it. So in you know, on the first level they have to agree, and from that then we continue the discussion. And if he is the cause, then we go. And if he isn't the cause, that means he is the effect. Then who is the cause?
Yeah.
So, and even if he is the cause, if they can prove that, then is he an ultimate cause? Or there's Paramatma or and Bhagavan. So even there, you know, it's very shady. It's not clear what is the premise of the whole thing.
That's interesting. You mentioned that he absolutely supreme absolute position, because there's also sometimes the discussion that when you're talking about the Abrahamic, you know, the discussion of God in the beginning and all that, where they're walking with God and everything, then there's the idea that that's a demiurge, that he's not the supreme form of the Lord. Some have this theory. Yeah,
I thought.
That was always taken like that. I only heard that recently. That some, I think it comes from some Christian group.
Okay.
They're trying to bring that up.
Oh, so it's their interpretation.
Yeah. So the Judaic, that's God. You know, it's like that. So they have this idea. But even if you are taking from there, then that just means because they're worshiping the Lord as, you know, the supreme controller, or the, you know, the judge, and like this. So Paramatma feature. Oh. So then, yes, there is Bhagavan feature, but it doesn't make him any less absolute. So it here is that, because one can say is no, but it has to be reasoning or logical. But and we'll say is that if you explain it according to the scriptures properly, with the central feature is Bhagavan, logic won't be dissatisfied. Right? So then how does that work? Because the point is unless there is that appreciation or faith, then how you can learn? Just like, let's say somebody has a great attachment to a particular idea, or, you know, either about a situation, a result, a person, or all that, and, you know, they're very attached to that. They've been working very hard to get that, and it doesn't happen. They don't believe it, you know, and so even you logically explain to them how it happened, they won't believe it. There's always, oh, but it's this, or if that one had done that, or it's this one's fault of that, or the situation, or we have to give more time. They'll always have, they won't believe it, because it's not that you can't present logically, but it's not through logic you'll understand, because with the material consciousness, you're attached to a material result, material process, material like this, and the Lord is beyond that. He's the source of that. So logic comes from Him. So only when you see it in context of Him is it actually logic. So therefore, the karmas and jnanis, you can't through logic explain the Lord. If there's some interest or some desire or something to know, and you explain, they may catch, and then in that way move forward. So that's why it says the pious move; they will take up, while the impious won't. That's why then the preacher leaves the impious. Impious means the mentality; it doesn't mean what they're doing. Mudha means he just thinks material existence is all you need. So if I work hard, I'll be happy. He doesn't. It's not what he's doing that we're talking about. The Naradama just thinks that there's no need for all this. There's no need for God. That means everything's going nicely, so I'm good. You know, he's a little better than the Mudha, who hasn't really got. He's just getting by, and the other one's doing quite well. You know, Maya Pratigyana thinks that my intelligence, I can understand everything. So he's not willing to go for something sublime, something beyond. And the Asura, he just wants to control it. Right? And so therefore, so he's against the law of God, because he wants it to be his law. You know, like we see with Prahlad Maharaj, he's saying, talking about the Supreme. And Hiranyakashipu gets upset, says, no, I'm the Supreme. You know? So that kind of aspect is, it's a mentality. We're not talking about the activities that they're doing. You know? So when we say sinful, we mean the mentality. Because the person is Arta Artati and Jigyasu may be also sinful by lifestyle. But there is a piety there that they're willing to know God, because actual piety means connecting to God. Sinful means not. So when you take that, if Krishna is the main point, then that means piety means things that are favorable towards progressing towards Krishna, not only pleasing Krishna. And impious means not doing that. So when you have the path, those going forward, that's pious, those going back are impious. Right? And it can be mixed. You can be going forward, backwards. You know, you can have your back to the Lord going forward. That means it's mixed. That they're accepting Shastra, accepting Guru, accepting the Vedic version, that's how they're moving forward, but they still have their back to the Lord. So then they won't get the Lord. Those who are facing the Lord, they're the ones The object of worship for the less intelligent man is but a transformation of material sattva guna, right? And so they also then talk about that the Lord then is sattva guna. He may be the ultimate position of sattva guna, but they still try to put him into that position, because anything that they're seeing and all that, anything you can think about and express and all that, has to be within the material, in their context, in their concept. So therefore, if we're explaining God, he must be within that. While Brahman is beyond, we can't explain, even though they do talk about it. So their understanding, top to bottom, is just, you know, the transformation of the material sattva guna. That's all, because it's null, and they can't get beyond, they can't get the spiritual. Which has qualities such as formlessness. Out of fear of contamination by worship of human forms or material qualities, the less intelligent people resort to the formless and unchanging concept, but this deprives them of Krishna prema. The pure dharma of the jiva becomes polluted by material conception. Those who become attracted to Krishna's glories and beauty are saved from the negative, impersonal mentality and see the kingdom of God. Well, because it's positive. The effulgence of Krishna is positive. But here, it's only appreciated from its negative standpoint, because it's saguna. So saguna is positive. But they're looking at it as nirguna. They simply catch the no qualities, no form, no transformation. They only catch the negative aspects of it. But that's just saying it's not it doesn't have any of the material defects. Right? And the material is just, you take that and transform. Yes, so you get that. But they catch that aspect, but at the same time, as it doesn't work for them, because if Brahman transforms, it's not changeless. Right? So then, but you know, since there's only the formless and no qualities, there can't be energy. So they really have struggled with philosophy at that point. Below that point, they can talk for, you know, unlimited time, but at that point, they actually don't have anything to say. Does that make sense? In other words, where that transition between the two, that point, they can't deal with. They can only deal with once it's become the material Satvagun. Then they can take that and make transformations. And they can keep themselves a Satva, not out of Raja and Guna, but they can't get themselves to actual Shuddha Satva. The jiva can by good fortune attain this unlimited happiness, but those whose intelligence is overcome by material knowledge cannot reach the spiritual kingdom. Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita Chapter 1, Part 3. So that's why material knowledge, we only put an emphasis on it in how it's useful in Krishna's service. But it's not useful on its own. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In describing Krishna's feet, the following verses are also relevant. On the right foot, in the middle, is the flag. The three fingers below the middle toe, above the flag, is a lotus. On the right side is the thunderbolt, and above it is the goad. At the base of the big toe are the barley corn and also the swastikas, creating great beauty in all directions on four sides. There's a line from between the big toe and next toe, adim, to the middle of the foot. The octagonal figure is eight fingers below. O Narada, this is how the sages describe the right foot. On the left foot, four fingers below the toes, is the rainbow. In the center is the triangle. The pots are in the four directions. I wonder if they got this triangle from there. You know, you always have that triangle, the Egyptian thing, I think, the triangle with the eye inside, and then there's that effulgence. They get it off. And somehow or another, you know, after thousands of years, they knew it was important, but didn't know where. The pots are in the four directions. Below the triangle is the crescent moon by eight fingers. The circle is at the top, and the fish at the bottom of the foot. Below the rainbow is the cow's hoofprint. Vaishnavotama means, O Narada, best of the devotees. Yada kada means whenever. Madhye means in the middle of the foot up to the heel. Dvaja means Dvaja, flag. Triangula, manata, means three fingers from the tip of the foot. The Y will be just set as an I, right?
Triangle.
Means it'll get an AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI sound, not an
yes.
I sound.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a way of writing AI. It's another way of writing AI. Because we also write AI. So is there any difference in spelling, I mean pronunciation, between if it's A-I or if it's Y?
Here, Maharaj, it should be triangular.
Triangular.
It also, the spell changes also with what comes next.
Okay, so it's a matter of its grammar, whether it's
yes.
A-I or Y.
Yes.
Okay, so that way you also know, I guess by that, what form you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, then they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because when you separate it, it comes to the like that. But when you are mixing with another and making like the siksha comes in, no?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes that when it is followed by certain word. And
yeah, like mud and mat and like that.
Kind of
okay. Triangula manata means three fingers from the tip of the foot. for the location of the lotus. Skanda Puran says that the flag is placed below and is the flag to destroy all anarthas. Kutarachit means all around. Adin means between the toe and the next toe. From there, a line extends to the middle of the foot. This is called Padma. The octagon is 8 fingers below the tip of the middle toe. There is thus some agreement of the placement of symbols. The symbols previously described should be understood to exist in the second description. The rainbow, triangle, and crescent moon are successively located lower on the foot. The rainbow appears only on Krishna's foot and no one else's. Bindu means the circle. It is near the top of the foot, near the toes. Near the heel is the mark of the fish. The 16 symbols are on both feet, combined since they are not listed in order. According to Skanda Puran, there is a chakra below the right big toe and a conch below the left big toe. Elsewhere also these symbols are described for Krishna. Yatara Krishnena Samkirnam Kriditam Cha Yada Sukam Chakran Kita Pada Tena Stane Brahma Maye Subhe. In that auspicious place, purely spiritual, Krishna, his feet marked with the chakra, played continually in joy. Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, Shanka Dvajata Patraistu Chinitam Cha Pada Dvayam. His 2 feet are marked with a conch, flag, and umbrella. The umbrella is below the chakra on the right foot, since the right foot is predominant and it fits here. It is 1 finger long, and 1/14th of which, 1/14th of that in width, 1/6th in width, according to others. The foot is described to be 14 fingers in length and 6 fingers wide. Okay, so you even know the size of Krishna's foot. That's cool. Viti, having stated that the first verse of Bhagavatam defines Krishna, the next Anucheda proves that the summary verse concurs with the first verse. Right, so the last verse of Bhagavatam and the first verse. Anucheda 83. The summary verse, Upasamhara, agrees with the first verse. I meditate upon that pure, spotless Krishna, who is free from suffering and death, and who previously revealed this incomparable lap of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas. Srila Vyas revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikit. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:13-19. It is said, Krishna created Brahma and preserved knowledge of the 18-syllable mantra for him. Those who have given up everything for Krishna surrender to him, the revealer of all knowledge and endowed with all pastimes. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:22. It is explained in the Bhagavat Sandarbha that Krishna is the speaker of the Chatushloki. Sutta spoke thus, the verse. Briti. Next, the author explains that Krishna's position as Swayam Bhagavan is repeatedly stated in Bhagavatam and other scriptures. He also states that all the other avatars, such as Lord Baladev, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, who appear along with Krishna, are the part of original Chaturvyuha and not the Amsa forms of the Purusha.
The avatars, such as not all the avatars.
They also state that all the other avatars, such as Baladev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, who appear along with Krishna, are part of original Chaturvyuha and not the Amsha forms of the Purushas.
Just these 3 Maharas.
Okay, so I mean, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they're part of the original Chaturvyuha.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna's Chaturvyuha. Means they directly expand from him.
So all the other.
Okay, and then from there you get Mahanarayan and then the second chapter of Yuhana.
Yes.
Okay.
So only these 3
Okay. Adhikarana 2, description of Krishna's Vyuha, the original Chatur Vyuha, Anuchedas 84 to 89. Adhikarana Prakashika. Having established Krishna's position as the supreme among all the beings, the current Adhikarana describes the position of Lord Balaram, Lord Prajumna, and Lord Aniruddha as the members of original Chatur Vyuha forms. We have seen previously that Krishna is known as Mahavasudeva in Dwarka, as stated in Vasudeva Upanishad. Hence, the opinion of the followers of Ramanujacharya that Krishna is a Vilas form of Lord Narayana is not acceptable. In order to further validate the truth that Krishna is the source of even the Lord of Vaikuntha, the author elaborates on the Vyuha forms of Krishna. So it's interesting, the followers of Ramanujacharya, he doesn't say Ramanujacharya. You know, just like the Tattvavadis are followers of Madhvacharya, but it's not necessarily what Madhva was saying. The author cites from Bhagavatam and other scriptures, because he's established there, but some will say, no, but he's, you know, this aspect of the Chaturvyuha coming from here and there and like that. The author cites from Bhagavatam and other scriptures that establish Lord Balaram as the original Sankarsana, Maha Sankarsana. He is the master of the Chit Shakti, and thus can never be bewildered by her. Similarly, Lord Prajumna and Lord Aniruddha are the original Chaturvyuha forms, and the demigods merge into them when they appear. Hence, Lord Balarama, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are all Krishna's Vyuha expansions. This would certainly refute other arguments such as, quote, Lord Balaram's form is material because he is known to be transferred into, I guess, the womb of Rohini by Maya. Prajumna is well known as Cupid, a demigod, and Aniruddha, an ordinary being who is defeated by Banasura. Thus it would be improper to state that Lord Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, as all his associates are in Amsha or Avesha forms. Right, so they're trying to say is you can't say he's the Yamshi because his associates aren't. But here's the point. Thus, the position of Krishna as the Yamshi, source of all of the expanses, is irrefutable. Anucheta 84. A repetition, abhyasa in Bhagavatam, makes clear the previous statements. Krishna is clearly shown to be Swayam Bhagavan by Bhagavatam, whose feet are respected hundreds of times by all other scriptures. With the help of other texts such as Gita, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, and other scriptures. Other Puranas also state that Bhagavatam states that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. For instance, Brahmananda Purana says that the name of Krishna is Shuka Vag Amritabd Bindhu. The name of Krishna is the moon arising from the ocean of nectar of Sukadeva's words. Since it has been shown that Krishna is Mahavasudeva, it follows that Baladeva is Mahasankarsana. Whatever form Krishna attains, his associates should attain corresponding forms. Thus, it is incorrect to think that Balaram is some Avesha avatara. It is seen by the descriptions of Krishna and Balaram that they are similar. Tavangri yugmam anu krishya sharish. Sripantuktau. Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled about zigzag in the muddy places of Raja. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8:22. Atanu smritya viprasthe anvata pyan Kritan Gasa Yad Vise Svarayor Vachnyam Ahan Ma Ri Vidham Bayo. The Brahmanas then came to their senses and began to feel great remorse. They thought, we have sinned, for we have denied the request of the two lords of the universe, or engaged in spreading human pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:23-38. Dadarsha Krishnam Ramam Cha Vraje Go Dohanam Gatao. Akura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braja, going to milk the cow, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38:28. Tau ve jatu ranga gatau maha bujao. The two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Now these are also quotations, so wouldn't that be indented? Is he not explaining? No?
Yeah,
well, it should be intended. And either they kept like this, or you can make it into separate. Okay. But it should also be then, done in the, I guess, the quotations like he does.
Sometimes he explains a little bit. And
no, but this one is not.
Yeah, this one.
And also the one, oh, here we have, okay. That the brahmanas then came to their senses, that you could put out.
Yeah.
That you could put out, and then under that put, we have sinned, and then give the quotation in. Okay. In the world, the sun and moon are described together. The sun and Venus are not described together. Thus in Harivamsa, in glorification of Vasudeva, Krishna and Balaram are compared to the sun and moon. That's interesting. Two exalted personalities beautified the cow pasture with the impressions of their feet, which bore the marks of the flag, lightning bolt, elephant goat, and lotus. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38:30. Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami elaborates on Krishna's vyuha, expansions in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Text 369. Krishna's vyuha, it's interesting, whenever we print Lagu Bhagavatamrita, it emphasizes certain.
It is from a different text, Maharaj. What happened is he converted the Balaram font into PDF. Once it is converted to PDF, when you change it, it will not come as usual. It goes into the.
Okay, so anything that has some.
Those I could convert back, but it takes a little time, so okay. I just left it.
But it's all the ones that have some special markings on it.
When you have a lacking
by that. Yeah. Krishna's view as superior to the vyuha of the Lord of Vaikuntha, starting with Vasudeva. Krishna becoming one with all these vilas forms, including the Lord of Vaikuntha, with his vyuhas makes his appearance in the world. The Narayan vyuha is thus a vilas expansion of the vyuha of Krishna. Okay, so all they come within him, and then he comes. 370. Amsa refers to the avatar form starting with the Purusha avatars, then Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Vamana, Narayana, the friend of Nara, Narayana, the friend of Nara, okay. Hayagriva, Ajita, and others. Krishna is eternally situated in these vyuha and amsa forms within himself. These forms are revealed during Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Right? So sometimes he does, like he kills the demons with Vasudeva. Mm-hmm. Like that. The following verses explain how the Mahad and Amsha forms are all present in Krishna. Text. So there also then is the thing is that they're all present in Krishna and he performs his pastimes in Vrindavan, revealing these different forms. Mm-hmm. So that would mean, besides the aspect of Krishna never steps a foot outside of Vrindavan, that means that, but it doesn't mean that all the expansions are only outside of Vrindavan and not with him in Vrindavan, because he's the source of them all. Text 373-374. This accounts for the astonishing pastime the Lord of Vaikuntha showed to Brahma in Vrindavan during the Brahma Vimohana Lila with tens of millions of universes and their lords. I would tend to put a capital L here.
Yes.
Because you're not just saying just who's the boss, but you're referring to the Supreme. Because this was revealed through Krishna's Swamsa forms. The pastimes of Vasudeva and Mathura and Dwarka are also revealed within Braja with the forms of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha during his childhood years. Thus, when Sri Dhamma became Garuda, Krishna assumed four hands. And when the 12 Adityas arrived, he manifests 12 hands to bless them. As for a Sridhama, this was who the Sridham. Yeah, Sridham was the son of Vrishabhanu and great friend of Krishna. When the 12 Adityas all bowed their heads at once, Krishna showed 12 hands to bless them all at the same time. Yeah, probably a great friend. Text 375 to 377. Balaram manifested as Sankarsana in the pastime of killing Agasura in Vrindavana. In the Gopaltapani Upanishad, Varaha Purana, it is said that Prajumna and Aniruddha eternally reside in Mathura. Also, the pastimes of Purusha Avataras are revealed in Mathura with a form lying on Ananta. Yeah, because where is that? Koshi, right?
Sheshashayi.
Yeah. It's in Koshi. It is also, it is well known that whenever these pastimes are revealed by Krishna, they are mentioned in the Puranas. Text 378 through 383. These forms such as Rama, which were revealed during Krishna's pastimes, are present today in Mathura in deity forms. Krishna created a milk ocean from the bountiful milk of 100,000 billion cows. That's a lot of cows. 100,000 billion. No, because a billion, it's 100,000. So you get 100 of that, it's a quadrillion. It's up in the quadrillions. Because it's not 1,000 billion. It's 100,000 billion.
Yes.
So 1,000 billion will be a trillion.
It's 100 trillion.
Oh? Yeah, okay, 100 trillion. 100 trillion cows. Assuming the form of Ajita, he churned that ocean with the coward boys who took the forms of devatas and demons. He was four-handed. Who is four-handed lord of Vaikuntha? Right. So then, because you know all these, they all come down. Because Sridhama is Garuda. It's not that he just takes on the form. Garuda is his expansion. You know, and all the demigods, they're all expansions of these coward boys and everything like that. So when you have, that's why you have that the Avarna is going out, is that they all come back. So originally you have Radha and Krishna in the middle, and then there are 8 Sakis around them. And everything in the cosmos is expanding from that position. You know, and then you have the Chakravyuha, and then you're going to get, you know. Huh?
So Maharaj, when Goloka is described, it's said that it's in the form of a lotus, and then there is the Svetati, which is forming an avarna, like a square shape. So that is referring to these pastimes of the Lord, where they are part also and they are...
I would say, because these will be Vrindavan pastimes, they'll be in there. That I, from my understanding, Sweta Dweep means what's not Braja.
We'll come across later, because Navadvip, when it is, Navadvip is described in Brahma Samhita by Jiva Goswami, then he refers to like Sweta Dweep as part of the Vrindavan itself. Like, it's part of Gokula, Goloka.
Yeah, so it's part of Goloka. Means that Goloka means you have Braj, and then from what I understand, then either Dwarka and Mathura are their own parts within that, and then Sweta Dweep includes Navadweep or Purushottam Kshetra and all these kind of things. Or Sweta Dweep means everything else other, but I think they also will use Goloka and Gokul. Means you have the whole Goloka Vrindavan, but within that you have Gokul and Goloka. So go in that, when you say upper, that means Gokul or Braj, and lower means the Goloka or everything else. So much of the time you hear, when you hear of all these pastimes of Krishna and Radha and all that that other sampradayas discuss, then I think the acharyas mentioned that's in lower Goloka. You know, so it'll be part of that Sweta Dweep aspect. So it must be that there is, because there is Vrindavan pastimes that have that touch of majesty to it, but it's Vrindavan pastimes.
Yeah.
You know, just like Dwarka, you know, and Mathura are pastimes of Krishna, but has the opulence. But this is then you have a form of Vrindavan pastimes, because the Vrindavan pastimes are so attractive that even those in the mood of majesty and Vaikuntha or others, they appreciate them. Like you see, is that the ladies in Mathura, when Krishna comes, are talking about the gopis, the queens and Dwarka are talking about the gopis, you know, in the pastimes there. So everyone appreciates. So then there is that feature where those kind of individuals, their worship of Krishna in that position, then that takes on that form. So maybe that's also what's meant by, you know, whether Swetadweep, you know, exactly, it has that aspect, is connected, because Navadweep then is an expansion of, it is Vrindavan, right? But then you also have the Purushottam Kshetra, and then you have these other aspects. So they may be, so whether Swetadweep includes the others, or Swetadweep is that fourth, because you have, from what I understand, you have Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, and Swetadweep as these four aspects of Goloka. So that Swetadweep must be anything that's connected to Braja, but it's an extended form. So these may be that these are, but are expanded aspects, but it's still Krishna and his associates who are doing them.
So that's the point. My point is, like, when that Swetadweep which you're referring, that's what is these four Chaturvyuha forms, the lords of. Then there is next expansion, which is the Vaikuntha planet.
Okay.
And when then the Lord is referred to as Lord of Shvetadip, then it is Narayana.
Because then it's the milk ocean. And
because this particular Adhikarana is distinguishing Krishna's Vyuha from Narayana's Vyuha, and that statement in the first verse of this Laghu Bhagavatamrita says that Krishna's Vyuha, the first text in this reference, Maharaj, says that Krishna's view is different from Narayana's view. So that means beyond Narayana is the first Chaturvyuha. Even when they say Vasudeva, it's not even the first Chaturvyuha, which the original Chaturvyuha, where Krishna is referred to as Mahavasudeva. And the difference between Krishna there and then Krishna in Braj is what is described in Lalita Madhava. Where he refers sometimes, oh, who is this wonderful person? That is him as Mahavasudeva. Because it's like all the other abodes, the lower Golok is just a supportive aspect to the original Vraj. So though they may be participating in the pastime, or they may be referring to that, still they are referring to as the supportive thing. Just like Navadvip Dham, it's Vraj, but it's like supporting to Vraj. It's like the original Vraj is always
It still has its useful uniqueness. Yes, because then, like you're saying, yes, so the Brahma Gita, then Radharani is making those points about Krishna and Mathura, so that means Mathura is assisting in the Vraj pastimes of separation. Or I think Hamsa Duda is just about this. No?
Yeah.
Right.
She speaks to the swan.
Yeah. So it's a, so that would mean then you have Krishna, means you have Krishna, then you have his Chaturvyuha, then you have Narayan. And of that then, and that Maha Narayan is an expansion of Balaram.
Yes.
So when you have Krishna, Balaram, Mahanarayan, but the point is when Krishna, Balaram, there's still Prajumna, Aniruddha extending that way, then you have Mahanarayan coming down from there, then he has, again, the Chaturvyuha now. So the aspect of the Chaturvyuha is coming from Vasudeva, and that the Chaturvyuha is coming from, is expanding from Sankarshan, both are correct. It's just a matter of which level you're dealing. So the second one then will all be expanding from Sankarsana, but the first is all expanding from. So that Vasudeva there, is that the Vasudeva when we say Vasudeva is the Lord of the Jnana Shakti, or is Mahanarayan? Means the Vasudeva of the Krishna's for that first Chaturvyuha, that Mahavasudeva, is that the one who is in the Lord of the?
That's what I'm not clear about. What is the standard between Mahan Vasudeva and Narayana? But here there is only one reference where.
But we would have to. But in one sense, you would have to, because Vrindavan is going to be based on his own personal expansion, direct expansion, rather than further expansion. Because if you're in control of it, means the Jnana Shakti, because that's also going to give the moods, that's going to give all that. So Narayan already has a particular mood. So that means that mood has to be coming from, established already. It means it's already there in Krishna, but I'm saying it manifests. So that means then that Mahavasudeva, because he would be then, all the realms would be based on that, and then that would be, you know, because the jnana, and that'll be where all the forms and everything is coming from and all that. So Braj is in its own position, it's independent. Mm-hmm. You know, if the others are supporting that, that means it has to be able to manifest that all on its own. And these others are just extensions of that.
Also, this shows that in our description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we say about Swayam, Tadekatma and Avesha, and the Swayam Rupa, only Krishna and Balarama discuss. Because in Braj, there is no Aniruddha and Pradyumna Aniruddha.
That's true.
And then the first expansion is that of original Chaturvyuha, four forms. And there, the pastime of Krishna in Dwaraka is referred to. So that means that's how, and then we categorize them, those four forms are the lower Goloka. And then from them expands the 24 forms of Vishnu.
But in between you have Mahanarayan.
Yes, that's what Mahanarayan means.
Yeah, Mahanarayan is there. Then you get that second expansion, then the whole Vaikuntha. Yeah. So Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka are from the first Chaturvyuha, not from the second.
Yes. That first Chaturvyuha itself, I mean, we even don't describe them as an expansion, because the same person, it's even more.
More of a Hasi. Yeah, because then you have that aspect is.
Or the same Vasudeva, when he is making an expansion into the second Chaturvyuha, then it's called as Mahanarayan or like Mahasankarshan. Neither of them. Because then the mood, it's only the mood, but there is no past times of like Mahanarayan referred to, which is as an abode, like.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of very unique things. This is also mentioned, I think, Brahma Samhita about Nrisingadeva. He's there in Goloka. But he's just there, kind of like. There's a sense of him being there, you know. And same in Vrindavan, the Shiva, he's not specifically there. But Purnamasi's there, so, you know, those arrangements are there, so the Purusha aspect. Is also,
but all those forms, this description explains all those forms, like.
Oh, how that will all come up.
Okay. Yeah, because Lord Ajitai was there, because Krishna is first performing this part time. Because every place has its mode, so there, that form of the Lord is, that expansion is like originating from that mode in Raj, where the devotees in relationship with Krishna are performing that particular pastime.
Yeah, so that means even the origin of all these major pastimes. Because you see in all the Puranas, they all have the churning of the milk ocean. So it's a very major, because they, Krishna the Cowherd Boys already do that.
Also in Brahma Samhita, it's interesting when we spoke about Shvetadvipa, Golok, and Gokula. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, Brahma calls that place Gokula, Gokula ke Mahatpadam, so that the lotus and then the yantra and the whole thing, that's the second verse. Mm-hmm. Then in the middle, he says, Golokanam Nichadam Nitalechatasi, and then describes the hierarchy of the planets. That there's Narayana, but there's Golok, which is personal abode of Govinda. Mm-hmm. And then at the last verse, he says, Bajya Shvetadvipam Tamahami Ha Golokamityam. So he says, I worship that Shvetadvipa, and it's not different from Golok. Mm-hmm. So all three can refer to that specific place.
To Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Braj, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because this Gokul, because also Gokul will have it, Gokul is manifest here and that, but it's also, it's all called Gokul, because it's the same place. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You
know. It's just like, let's say you have an embassy of the country, you know, in another country, but you move around and deal as if you're in your own country.
That whole description is coming up.
That's coming up. Okay, that
after one. This.
Here?
No, after this, in the next book.
In the next book.
In Bhakti Sandharva.
No, this is just establishing.
In Krishna Sandharva.
Oh, okay.
Because this is Adhikarana 2, so that'll be Adhikarana 3.
No, Maharaj. This Adhyaya is.
Oh, I'm the next Adhyaya.
Okay.
The next Adhyaya.
This is still discussing, we're still discussing on Krishna's form and name. And then whatever the contrary ideas on that, especially here, the contrary ideas will be coming from other sampradayas, primarily, but also towards the end, it refers to the Mayavadis and all this, poke their head everywhere. So.
Yes. Okay. So they have to be careful, because they have a particular mood, so they see things in a particular way, just as we will see all of Krishna's expansions as simply as Krishna. You know, he's performing the pastime, and because he's performing the pastime, you interact based on that position. Right? So that makes sense. You know, so that was the, you know, that would be the normal aspect. So that was the interesting thing of Gopakumar, because he just sees Krishna. And so he's dealing with him in that way, but the environment is that of formality. So he's been, you know, told that in this environment, be formal. And then Krishna comes to him personally and says, you know, it's cool, and that you can go back to earth and then, you know, find your guru will come, and then with that, then you go to Goloka. Otherwise, you know, from there you don't go. You go from Gokul. You don't go from Vaikuntha. So then that would also ask the question, if you get to Vaikuntha and all that, because you have, you know, you want to keep your options open, right? For the option bodies, then they get to Vaikuntha. If they decide that, well, maybe this isn't quite what I want, they have to come back to Gokul to go to Goloka anyway. So it's not that from there they can just move around as they like. You have to come back here, then go.
Well, that answer, I mean, that question answered in the story of Ajanya, why he didn't go immediately to Vaikuntha, because his mood wasn't developed at that time, so he waited for some time, and then he developed the mood, and then he went. Otherwise, why, you know, going from here, Vaikuntha, and come back, then it's just, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the point is you're going to go from here, so.
Yeah, it's just a projection of people's material anxieties into the spiritual realm, which Vaikuntha means no anxiety, so there's no question of that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. If there's an anxiety about that, means that the consciousness is still needs further development.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be very clear.
Tripad. Vaikuntha is called Tripad, means Kshema, means it's secure, and then Amrita, means, and it's like full of no fear of death and all, and Abhaya. Abhaya means fear from any. These are the Tripad mentioned about these three qualities eternally exist in.
Okay, in the spiritual realm. Okay, these are the tripada. What's the ekapada? What's the
ekapada?
It's the opposite of all those in one. Don't worry, you'll get all three.
So firstly, this whole adhyaya first describes about all the contrary ideas and deal with it on the form, and the next adhyaya starts describing about the dham first, and then the devotees.
Okay, and then any contrary ideas there and all that.
Yeah, dham and devotee is not much.
I mean, just if you've already established Krishna, then it's easy to.
Everything is really explained in that relation because he is established, and the dham obviously will be supreme, and only the details how it is. And then they have to describe Prakatina Prakat Leela.
Okay, so then when you say name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, paraphernalia, dham, and all that, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Name, Krishna, form, qualities, and then that Krishna performs pastimes, and who he performs pastimes with. Mm-hmm. That's then the next. So that if you see it in that kind, so if you see his associates and the paraphernalia and the place without connection to Krishna, then you're dealing with the material.
Mm-hmm. Also, to explain.
So that's where the opposite is. With the lowest is it goes to the highest there, because for Krishna, he's focused on that.
And in order to explain Krishna's form as the highest, then obviously we have to refer to his qualities being. Unique. So the form and qualities kind of go together, and in the pastimes, the place of pastime is abode and people involved. So his pastimes involve obviously the abode and the people,
the devotees. And that's his, based on his desires of each of his dealing.
Yeah, that explained at the end now. Swarup Shakti. After you explain Prakata, Prakat Leela,
then towards the end, okay, then bhakti. Then bhakti has a basis.
It ends with explaining how Radharani will be the topmost, and then the bhakti is then our service in connection through her.
Yes. That's very far, right? Just the sequence that he's doing is just so perfect. It means by establishing this, then you've cleared all the doubts for these things. Because otherwise, Radharani, unless you've cleared all these doubts, you can have all these discrepancies.
Same like Dashamul.
Dashamul is derived from this.
In the beginning it sounded difficult, but once we speak to Samvada Vilaya Prayojana and Dasamu, then any discussion we can see where exactly are we. But in others it's like all over the place, and then it's the range is really wide.
Yeah, that's right. Last night that discussion on he was saying at Parikrams, and you had the senior devotees and discussing. So it may have a very wide range. Yeah. And so, but in that, then I generally see the devotees, because they're very enthusiastic, they generally don't get distracted and all that. Not at the time, maybe later, but because of the environment. But at the time, then they're absorbed in that mood, and so, I say iron and fire is fire, so it doesn't matter. Because that's also the thing that needs to be brought out, I think, with that discussion is. Prabhupada was just mentioning today in those Nectar Devotion classes, I think take 10, where he's saying that pure devotee means you have no motive other than pleasing Krishna. He says it's not dependent on whether you're a neophyte, Madhyama, or Uttama Adhikari. Because we generally take pure devotee has to be an Uttama or a Madhyama. So pure devotee just means they don't have any other motive, at least that they're aware of. They may have impurities, they may have different things, they may not have a full understanding, but their drive is pure. Like that. And so that's the aspect. If you're dealing with the pure devotion, then there's no problem. So it doesn't matter if they're neophytes. Because at that moment, in that situation, in that association, they will be functioning on the absolute platform. So then it's not a problem. But for them to sit down and have those conversations, it may not work out as good. Yeah. You know, so that's why then to go and, oh, that was so nice and they got such a taste, so they'll only read those parts of those books and, oh, where is that? You know, that was so nice. Where did he get that? I want to read that book. That's where the problem would start, because then they're not in that association, in that fire like that. So then that's where they can get distracted. But at the time, then there's not really a problem. But what things need to be explained, like Prabhupada will be explaining these things, but then he'll be describing, but he'll also be explaining so that you don't get distracted. Yes?
Also, when it describes about associates of Lord, their quality is they're constantly in that mood, mm-hmm. where they can constantly be discussing on that, mm-hmm. and stay in that mood. That's the difference between those who are practicing, and they can get into some small seconds or minutes in that. But
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a difference between staibhav and borrow, which we reflect somebody else's mood mm-hmm. for that time. But then when the object is out, the reflection isn't there. So we game with our own mind and senses, you know, don't know where to go, this, that.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. You know, so that'll be, you know, what do you call it? Ratyavas. Like that, you know, so. But they're in that, you know, with others who are there, so it takes on those qualities like that. But if they're in that association and they're doubting and this and that, then one should be careful, then one should be. But that generally should be able to be picked up by those devotees who are discussing. If the mood adjusts, they can tell something's wrong.
Yeah.
So then, you know, then they'll start discussing something else.
Anecdotes.
Yes, yeah, the mood adjust.
Yes.
Okay. He who is four-handed lord of Vaikuntha and lord of Swetadweep and Nara Narayana is actually the son of Nanda, enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan. Unlimited attractive avatars appear from Krishna and merge into him, like thousands of sparks emanating from a large fire and merging into it. Thus it has been proved that Krishna comes with all his vilas and avatar forms. In the scriptures, some sages, having realized a certain incident, say that Krishna is Narayana, friend of Nara, Indra's younger brother, Kiradakshai, Mahavishnu, or the Lord of Vaikuntha. Some sages have limited vision of the Lord because they have realized only certain forms, such as Badri Narayana, in the form of Krishna. Vyasadeva has recorded all these statements. This is the method for those eager to know the conclusion. Thus, Vyasa has repeated the words of others in the Karna Parva of the Mahabharata, which claim that Shalya is greater than Krishna and Karna is greater than Arjuna. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 369. Through 383. Yeah, because you get those things because as others will see. Like if you're looking at the material platform, Karna probably, you could say, technically gave more charity and was more focused on the idea of charity than Arjuna. So in that way you could say that he was a greater personality. For those who are materialistic. You know, it's just like we're saying, oh, you know, ISKCON, how much charity is it giving? So many others are giving so much more, so they're better. So from that perspective, you're looking like that. But the point is the real charity is Krishna consciousness. And that was the whole point in the Pandavas, being in the position of authority. Then the citizens will become Krishna conscious. Under Duryodhana, it'll just be business as usual. As an individual, they may be able to work on these things, but it won't be the dynamic flavor that's driving the society. Because he's only interested in La Puja and Pratishtha, so. And that will come up more in the society, so even those who are inclined will be less focused or less comfortable. And so slowly, slowly it all degrades. Thus, Balarama has the qualities of Krishna, not of Prithu and other Avesha forms. His glory is described. My dear Parikit, that Balaram killed Denukasura is not such a wonderful thing, considering that he is Bhagavan, the unlimited and controller of the entire universe. To him, the entire cosmos rests as cloth depends on his threads. Maybe put a comma after that, rests. As cloth depends on its threads. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15:35. Vriti, BBT purport. Unfortunate persons cannot appreciate the blissful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the Supreme Lord possesses unlimited potency and strength, as expressed here by the word anante. The Lord exhibits a tiny fraction of his power according to the need of a particular situation. Lord Balarama desired to vanquish the gang of demoniac asses who had unlawfully seized the Talavan forest, and therefore he exhibited just enough divine opulence to easily kill Denukasura and the other demons. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15:35. The meaning is clear. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Anucheda 85. Moreover, it is said, Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yam Anantam Prachakshate Garbho Bhavuvo Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. The seventh child, known as Sankarsana, filled with Krishna, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation, became a child. The phrase Garbho Bhavuha means that Balaram became a child. It does not say that he entered an embryo like a conditioned soul. This indicates he's an avatar. Sukadev spoke thus the verse, right? Because before someone was saying he was just you know, a kid. He can't be, you know, the Supreme Lord because, you know, he's in this womb, he's in that womb, and all that kind of jazz.
Controlled by mind.
Yeah. Anucheda 86. Vasudeva Kalanata Sahasra Varana Svarat Agrato Havita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarsana, who is known as Ananta and Sesha, with 1,000 heads, because he shines with many forms. Previous to the appearance of Krishna, this original Sankarsana will appear as Baladeva, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.24, Udriti Srila Prabhupada. Sri Baladeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Godhead. Yet, whenever Krishna appears, Sri Baladeva appears as his brother, sometimes elder and sometimes younger. When Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions and other incarnations appear with him. This is elaborately explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This time, Baladeva would appear before Krishna as Krishna's elder brother, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.24 purport. So then in Vrindavan, all the incarnations are within Krishna, and then according to the situation, he manifests, he may perform pastimes where through that particular form he'll perform a pastime. But when he comes into, you know, appears in the material world, then he comes with them all. They all come. Does that make sense? When he's outside Braja. Huh? Didn't make any sense?
I don't see the difference. In Braja, it's always in him.
Yeah, but then when he comes in, like in Dwarka, Prajumna Aniruddha are there.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, all the demigods are there.
Manifest.
Yeah, the external manifest. That's what I mean. Oh, I didn't. Okay, I didn't say it so well.
Balaram is always there. That's why he is categorized in Swayam Rupa.
Mm.
Because he's always there.
Always there. Yeah, and then from him, all those others manifesting may come through him, but it's still at Krishna's desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sankarsana is the first amsha, kala of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. He comes personally not as an expansion of Sankarsana, for it is said he exists by himself, Swarat. He is devoid of divisions of time and space, ananta. Some may argue that Balarama is material because he is transferred from Devaki by Maya. If he were the complete Lord, Maya could not transfer him. However, this Maya is endowed with a chit shakti, whose desire is unrestricted. This is explained in the text. Vishnur Maya Bhagavati Yaya Sammohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhu Nam Sena Karyarte Sambhavishyati. Somebody's there? The Marvel Walla come? He's there still, okay. The potency of the Lord, full of power, who bewilders the whole world, will merge with the Chit Shakti by the request of her master to perform her actions. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.25. Amshena Sambhavishyati means she will merge with his Amsa, the Chit Shakti. Thus she is called Ekan Amsha, one without any parts. Some say the name means one in whom there is one entity without any division. Because he is, you know, the undivided Lord, then therefore the Shakti is also the undivided Shakti. Like that. So he is Sesha, who is 1,000 heads, since he shines, Deva for Divyati, with many forms. Yamuna Devi says, Rama Rama Mahabhaho Na Jane Tava Vikramam Yasyai Kamshena Vidrita Jagati Jagatav Pate. Rama Rama, O Mighty Armed One, I cannot know your full power, prowess. With a single portion of yourself you hold up the earth, O Lord of the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65.28. Oh, this is the
pastime
with the plow, yeah. Ekamshena means by whose portion, called Sesha. If Ekamshena were to mean by Balaram, who is a portion of the Lord, the phrase would be Yena Ekamshena. There are many statements by the wise to refute the idea that the phrase means Balaram is an Amsha avatar. Sridhar Swami makes this clear in his commentary by pointing out meaning of the possessive pronoun yasya. The honest procedure is to take the correct meaning of ekamsha, that of an agent who is one Amsha, rather than an indirect meaning. Okay, so here is that Ekamshena, by whose portion called Sesha, means Krishna's there, his portion is Sesha. That aspect is Sesha. Rather than Sesha means, who is a portion of the Lord, who's just saying that, you know, it's expanded like that is a portion. Here it's saying is that it's directly expanding from Krishna. Right? So that's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. He, in full. Means the Prabhupada mentions the only difference between Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is white, Krishna is black. I mean, Krishna is black, Balaram is white. Like that. So, yeah. Okay, how are we doing? So from here. All right, 2 more minutes. In Ayodhya Mahatmya, in Skanda Purana, describing the disappearance pastime of Lakshmana, it is said, Lakshmana, the ocean of truth, became Sesha. Indra then spoke in a sweet voice while all observed. Indra said, Lakshmana, Lakshmana, please rise up and ascend to your own place quickly. O brave one, killer of enemies,
you have performed godly tasks. Attain the highest eternal abode of Vishnu, which belongs to you. Your amsha, sesh, with shining hoods, has also returned. Having said this, Indra, the king of the devatas, surrounded by the devatas, established Sesha, who was capable of holding up the weight of the earth, in Patala. He then reverently had Lakshmana ascend a vehicle. Indra then returned to Swarga. May Yajna protect me from defamation. May Balaram protect me from death. Sesha protect me from envious servants. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.18. Okay.
The next sentence goes with
this. Oh, it goes with this. Here it is shown that Balaram is different from Sesha and has more powers. Instead of Kritanta, sometimes Janantat, destruction from others, is seen. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.